Welcome to the BeWellBuzz.com podcast.
Welcome to the Be Well Buzz podcast. This is your resident nutritionist, Sean Stevenson, and today we're going to be going over a topic that really deserves a lot more attention than it's getting. The World Health Organization actually predicted that depression will become the second leading cause of death by the year 2020, unless immediate steps are taken to improve treatment and increase awareness. Now, unless you've had your life impacted by depression, you don't know how serious this can be. And our current treatments for depression are obviously not yielding great results. And it's simply a basic scientific understanding that a synthetic drug will inherently block or mimic the body's own natural chemical nerve messengers, which are known as your neurotransmitters. We don't want to inhibit our body's own processes by using a synthetic method. Instead, we want to be intelligent in our approach and use natural methods to balance out our system. And that's what I'm going to provide you with today, something that can radically change your issues with depression or the people that you care most about who are dealing with this very, very damaging and debilitating issue. And it begins with asking a very simple and basic question and understanding that everything you eat affects the way you think, it affects the way you feel, and inherently affects the outpicturing of your body. This is built into the matrix, is built into the system of how we function. So asking the question, what if we were to eat in a way that our genetics expected from us? What if we were to actually eat those foods that our genetics expected us to eat to utilize these epigenetic capabilities that we have to influence our genetics and to influence whether or not we're dealing with depression? So what I'm going to do now is to take you through a basic understanding of how depression can affect us in a biological fashion, and then look at what particular foods, nutrients, practices are going to be able to help intrinsically to balance the situation out. Now, depression is typically looked at a depletion of a neurotransmitter called norepinephrine, the chain of chemical events in your body resulting in this substance known as norepinephrine. It begins with L-phenylalanine, which is abundant in our diet from protein foods. Then this is converted to L-tyrosine, which is made in the liver, and eventually becomes dopamine, then the norepinephrine and epinephrine. And this process is basically how science is looking at the issue of depression on a biological, biochemical level. Now, where you're going to get a lot of leverage in dealing with depression is understanding that your body is getting a pretty adequate amount of L-phenylalanine, the first compound that we need from protein foods. It's pretty abundant in the human body. But the problem lies where we go into the conversion to L-tyrosine, which is made by the liver. And this can be inhibited big time by a short supply of vitamin C in your body. Not having adequate amounts of vitamin C can greatly alter or block this process from happening properly. And studies have shown that giving large doses of vitamin C have had incredible success in reversing depression. And this is definitely something that you might want to look into. This might be just the thing to help to balance that problem out. And what I want to share with you is the top botanical sources of vitamin C, because we always want to go natural first. We always want to go and get the real thing first rather than getting a synthetic vitamin C. What that's going to look like is the camu berry. That is actually ranked as the number two botanical in the world for reversing depression. And it is actually the number one source of botanical vitamin C of any known food. It's absolutely amazing, amazing food. And what you can do is get the camu berry powder, and it should have a dark orangish brown color to it. And you can simply add it to your water, mix it into your juices. And vitamin C is very reactive with metals, so you don't want to mix it with a metal spoon if at all possible. You can't add it to your smoothies and things like that. And you might lose some of the capacity. This is not 100% known, but chances are you're going to get a lot of it still. But camu is the number one place to go. Next up, I would recommend amla berry. And this one has been used in Ayurvedic medicine for literally thousands of years. Super source of vitamin C. And that would be the place to look to address depression at that level in that basic scientific understanding of how depression works biochemically in our body. Next, we want to move into another basic understanding about how depression can be activated in the system from a biochemical perspective. And another big cause can be an issue with dopamine. Now, if this is a dopamine-related depression issue, the place to look here is going to be an incredible food known as Mucuna purines. And what this is a tropical legume that's been used in Ayurveda, again, for thousands of years as one of those go-to places for dealing with issues of depression. Mucuna actually provides a true source of L-DOPA, which is converted into dopamine in your system, which is just mind-blowing if you truly understand about how this process works and to find something in nature that has that capacity. It's also noted to be an aphrodisiac, increasing overall well-being and vitality in the body, all those type of good things. Now, I need to give you an important caveat if someone's dealing with depression. This is specifically for dopamine-related depression. If the depression is a case of low serotonin, it can actually make depression worse because it has a tendency to suppress serotonin in the body, does dopamine. Now, take that in. You know, if this is an issue where it's serotonin-based, we need to be careful with something like Mucuna. But it's something to test out. Give it a try. If you haven't gotten tested for any of these issues, which is very, very difficult to find out in the first place, then give it a try. See how you feel. If it doesn't work for you, let it go and try something else because there's so many different options out there. And I'm going to continue to share more. Now, what I just mentioned is that it's very hard to tell is that the field of psychiatry is a field that can actually prescribe drugs based off of conversations, just based off of talking to you. No testing is needed. We're not going to find out if your neurotransmitters are haywire or you don't have certain compounds in your bloodstream. No, it's based off of a conversation. And that's not real science. Real science is actually finding whether there's an imbalance in the body. What we are doing today, we're being marketed to all day and all night on television that, you know, if you're having a hard time in your life, then you might have this psychiatric disorder. If you have this list of symptoms, then you must be dealing with this particular diagnosis. We're just passing out different diagnoses and there's drugs attached to them. And we don't want to get caught up in that pharmaceutical grip. And it's very, very convincing because you're watching television programming. So you're getting programmed with these different ideas every day. And when we really take back control of our health and say, no, I'm not going to participate in this, and continue to immerse yourself in positive, real information and to share this type of information with your loved ones. Because that's what's really going to help someone with issues of depression is being in a community, is having the feelings of worthiness, of being cared for, of being part of something. That's the true answer when it all boils down to it at a heart level. So I don't want to get too metaphysical. You know, we're going to stick to the science pretty much today, but at the heart of this, it's about care, connection, family, support, community, love. These are going to be vital for anyone to truly overcome depression because it's not something where you take something and it's going to fix the problem. That's an allopathic way of looking at things that I can take this thing and it's going to heal me. No, it's a holistic, it's a whole life approach. And all of these things matter, especially when we're looking at issues of depression. So next, we're going to move on to another very, very powerful and time-tested, very storied herb that's been utilized for dealing with issues of depression. It's a wild yellow flower known as St. John's wort. Two large studies, one sponsored by the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine, showed that St. John's wort was actually helpful for treating mild depression. It was actually confirmed that this was the case. However, it was not as effective for treating major depression. So if someone has a mild to moderate form of depression, St. John's wort can be very beneficial. Studies have actually proven this. And I like to go with the stuff that works. Truth is what works. St. John's wort has been utilized for different medicinal purposes for literally thousands of years. It's one of those time-tested things. And we want to look to Mother Nature's cabinet rather than going to some synthetic man-made laboratory thing, because then you're an experiment. We want to go with the stuff that works. And if we're needing to bring some things into the system to help to balance some things out, St. John's wort is another great one to look to. Moving on, we have one that a lot of people know about, but they don't really know about. and studies have demonstrated ginkgo biloba's true efficacy in treating depression. Ginkgo biloba actually improves neurotransmitter function in the brain and helps bring oxygen-rich blood to the brain, improving overall functioning and performance. Why I say that people know about ginkgo biloba but they don't really know about it is because you hear about it. You hear about it all the time. But to truly understand the history of this plant is mind-blowing, to say the least. This plant, this tree, has prehistoric genetics. It's been discovered that relatives of ginkgo biloba have existed on the earth for over 200 million years. It's possibly the oldest living seed plant in the world. That's how amazing ginkgo biloba is. And today we can find these trees all over the place. It's an incredible adaptogen. And they can reach from an average of 66 to 115 feet in height. And there's some ginkgos in China that are literally over 164 feet tall. It's an absolute giant, and it's an absolute giant of health as well. The word biloba is derived from the Latin bis meaning to and loba meaning lobed. And this is what is referring to the shape of the leaves themselves. And that's where the medicine that we're looking to comes from. And I always like to link it up to the lexicon found in the word biloba. We know that we have two lobes of our brain, biloba, bilobes, the two lobes, and helping to accentuate that whole brain functioning. That's what I look to ginkgo biloba to do. And as mentioned, ginkgo is an incredible adaptogen, so it helps you to adapt to stress. And how it can demonstrate that to you in the form of the doctrine of signatures is to take a look at where ginkgos are grown at. If your eye is keen enough, you can see that ginkgos are literally spread all throughout urban environments, tolerating pollution, tolerating diseases, urban conditions, and hardly any insects attack them still. They're still strong and very well adapted to all the pollution, the smog, the poor soil quality. These trees are still there thriving. And again, you are what you eat. You bring in compounds from plants like these, you take on their qualities. It's a very, very simple thing. And it's a universal law. So we want to pay attention to things like these. And actually, you know, they're noted for being a very prominent tree in Asia. And actually, during World War II, the bombing of Hiroshima, which was a catastrophic event, just horrible thing to even think about or talk about. But in the midst of that, in the rubble, where pretty much all of the animals and plants didn't survive, ginkgo trees were still found standing. And many were incredibly burned, but they healed themselves and were able to grow back and continue growing. And some of them are still standing today, which is absolutely amazing and another testament. So I give you that story to understand that this super herb can actually help you to adapt, can help you to adapt to stress and to balance out your system. And the science shows it. We're looking at over 40 different compounds that have been isolated in ginkgo that have been found valuable to the human body. In particular, the flavonoids, the terpenoids, these things have been shown to protect the heart, the nerves. And if we're looking at depression, we're talking about the nerves and also improving blood flow, which is critical to our overall brain functioning. So that's that with ginkgo biloba. If it speaks to you, give it a shot. But don't just play around with it a little bit. Get on board. You got to do it full on. Get a good ginkgo product from a reputable source and have at it, really implement it. Next up, we want to look at a study that was published in the American Journal of Psychiatry. This study confirmed that the lower the level of EPA in the individual system, the more severe the clinical depression. And what EPA is a form of omega-3 fatty acid. Studies have shown over and over again that people suffering from depression have consistently lower levels of omega-3 fatty acids in their blood. EPA and DHA are two critical omega-3 fatty acids that actually make up a large portion of your brain. Now, we hear that omega-3 fats are important and you can get them from different sources, but most of the tests, I'd say 90 to 99% of the tests that are done, the actual studies showing how omega-3 fats can reduce systemic inflammation and help to heal all these issues are done using fish oil. And it's also a value to note that the British Journal of Psychiatry showed that fish oil supplementation reduced suicidal tendencies in a specific study where 40 people were given fish oil versus a placebo. And this was over a 3-month period. So we're not just talking about any omega-3 product out there. You know, flaxseed oil is great, but it doesn't have DHA and EPA. Those are the things we're looking to. Your body can convert it, but it's a very rigorous process for our body to try to do that. When if we're dealing with depression, we just want to get right to the point. I don't like to take many unnecessary chances when we can just apply the stuff that actually works. Something that might be of an option here if somebody is a very strict and unbending vegan or vegetarian would be to look to krill oil. Now, krill is a microscopic shrimp, so that might be a little bit more of an option on a karmic level. And krill, even though the studies are not as strong as using fish oil, has been shown to contain a very nice amount of omega-3s that can be utilized in place of using fish oil. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Now, this will be a perfect place for me to interject and to share some very, very important things to avoid when battling depression. Now, what's been shown is that a disproportionately high ratio of omega-6 fats to omega-3 fats have been clinically shown to be linked to depression. Now, both of these are essential fats and they're both important, but the omega-6 fatty acids and the omega-3 fatty acids in our evolution, our ancestors probably saw about a 1-to-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 or a 2-to-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. So that's for every 2 omega-6s we come across, we're implementing 1 omega-3. That's a pretty good balance. But in our society today, we're seeing something more like a 20-to-1 ratio of omega-6 to omega-3. This spells big-time trouble because omega-6s tend to be more pro-inflammatory and omega-3s tend to be more anti-inflammatory. And the omega-3s are a specific group of fatty acids that are directly responsible for our brain function and the cell membrane structures. So we're literally talking about the brain of our cells and how our cells actually communicate. That's how important these omega-3s are. So having that poor ratio could be the big time underlying problem. So how are we getting so many omega-6s in our diet and not getting the omega-3s? Well, with the advent of so-called vegetable oils, are really contributing to this overabundance of omega-6s in our diet. So things that are cooked in corn oil, soy oil, canola oil, which is a rapeseed, safflower oil, all those things are bringing a tremendous amount of omega-6s into the body. And if you're not balanced out with the omega-3s, it's going to cause a tremendous amount of inflammation in the system. And this can be avoided by getting off of the stuff that we've been marketed to that are healthy, like all these vegetable oils that were brought in to replace the things that our ancestors used consistently, like full fat butter, coconut oil, things like that. We were marketed and told that saturated fat is bad for you, which nothing can be further from the truth. Actually, the majority of your brain is water and saturated fat. So if we're looking at any protocol to truly reverse issues of depression, saturated fats are going to be there in the mix. They're going to be there. They're going to be necessary, and they're going to be very valuable in the end result. So start cooking your food in coconut oil, full fat butter, ghee, things like that are going to be radically healthier for you than cooking with these different vegetable oils. If you don't know this by now, now you know. Throw that stuff out. Those oils are consistently oxidized and rancid already by the time you put them into your body. And on that note, in case people don't know this, avoid trans fat like the plague. When you take these vegetable oils, like canola oil, for example, and you put it through the process of hydrogenation, that is actually creating a substance where you're taking that oily substance and making it into a solid. And chemically, it's one molecule away from being plastic. That's right. People are eating plastic every day. Trans fat has been banned in New York City. It's been banned in the state of California. I've been telling my clients this stuff for years, you know, but now it's really hitting the mainstream that this is stuff that we don't want to play around with. We want to do the stuff that our ancestors did, that we've traditionally done in our families, and get away from any foods that are containing these damaged vegetable oils. And one more thing to note on getting those levels of omega-3s back up, fish oil is going to be a great option. And again, make sure you're getting it from a reputable source. We don't want rancid omega-3 fatty acids coming into our body because we're getting some random fish oil at the supermarket. We want to get the good stuff. And also what can be valuable and what's been shown in studies is that eating fatty fish can be an option for you as well, because that's intrinsically where the fish oil is going to be coming from. So if people are kind of on the standard American diet and just getting them off of the fried chicken and the thick burgers and the cheese crust pizza, and just eating some fatty fish like salmon can radically change their health and literally save someone's life just to make that switch over. So we're going to leave it at that and move it on. Next thing I want to do is provide some more food sources. So some more vegetarian plant-based sources that everybody can implement. And one of the really simple and surprising ones to a lot of people are cashews. Cashews can actually provide a couple thousand milligrams of tryptophan, which has been noted to work just as well as prescription antidepressants. Literally, cashews versus depression. That's the headline right there. Having a few handfuls of cashews every day are equivalent, in many cases, statistically, to being as effective as some of these antidepressants out there. Cashews. And they taste good. So that's that. And just to give you a few other options there, per 3.5 ounce serving, so that's a nice little packet of cashews. And we're talking about raw cashews here, not the roasted ones with the table salt on there, not those guys, the raw cashews. That's giving you about 470 milligrams of tryptophan. Sesame seeds are giving you about 330 milligrams per 3.5 ounce serving. Pumpkin seeds are 560. Pumpkin seeds are rocking it with the tryptophan, and that's a great place to look. Now, with that sesame seeds, I brought that up because tahini, which is ground sesame seeds, it's sesame seed butter essentially, you've got the biggest amount there, 575 milligrams of tryptophan. So these are some great things to add in, and overall, with the total life strategy, can be very valuable in cracking this whole overarching depression issue. Another place to look for a natural antidepressant would be, now you might want to move in a little bit closer to your speakers for this one, chocolate. That's right. Chocolate has been shown to contain approximately 300 natural compounds that have effects in boosting your mood. Included in that are things like serotonin, anandamide. Ananda means bliss. It's the bliss chemical. And chocolate actually has this compound. Tryptophan is found in chocolate. And again, we want to go for the good stuff, the raw chocolate. I recently did a really fun talk at TEDx in Las Vegas recently, and I really dove in deep on all the beneficial things that you're getting from cacao, also known as raw chocolate. So you can check that video out right here on Be Well Buzz, and we'll put a little link to that right alongside this podcast. So next up, I want to share with you another common statistical correlation. Studies have shown that there is a direct link between B12 vitamin deficiency and depression, meaning that depression is greater in those that have lower levels of B12 in their body. B12 has actually been shown to help protect against depression and help maintain positive moods. B12 is typically considered to be found in high concentration in organ meats, fish, milk, cheese, eggs, things like that. If we're looking at things from a vegetarian approach, it's really difficult to find adequate sources of B12, and the numbers just aren't there right now. If you're concerned that you do have a B12 issue, then some vegetarian appropriate sources to look to would be things like spirulina and blue-green algae. Now, spirulina actually contains a B12 analog. It's not actually the B12 that will show up in our system and improve our B12 numbers. But that doesn't negate the value that it could have in some kind of biochemical processes. So those would be some places to look. But B12 is very, very important. And I always like to guide people to the natural food sources first. So if that means having some animal products, I would be all for it if somebody can actually improve their health and get themselves out of depression. But there are synthetic options out there that you can get B12 supplements and things of that nature into your body and get some pretty good results as well. But you want to go as natural as possible. And just remember that that should be the overarching theme in your mind always when making the decisions for your health. So next, I want to talk about what I found to be the most profound thing in this whole equation dealing with depression. There was a study that was published in the Journal of Psychosomatic Medicine, and this study included 202 men and women age 40 and older, and they were diagnosed with major depression. In this study, investigators found that those who went through a group-based exercise therapy program did as well as those who were treated with an antidepressant drug. So literally, exercise was used as medicine, and these individuals improved just as much as those people who were on antidepressant drug. And just as a little sidebar, this was done with group-based exercise. There was also a third group that performed the exercise at home as a home-based program. They also improved in their symptoms of depression, but to a lesser degree. It didn't match up quite with the antidepressant drug. So the devil is in the details on this one. It's group-based. It's exercise. And why does this work? It's demonstrated that physical activity actually affects numerous nervous system pathways, including norepinephrine and serotonin, which these are the targets of antidepressant drugs in your body. Those receptor sites are linked up to the same thing. So we're creating these things naturally in our body when we exercise. And it's so powerful to utilize this. But it struck me as very much ironic when Dr. James Blumenthal, who's professor of medical psychology at Duke University, said, quote, "If exercise were a drug, I'm not sure that it would receive FDA approval at this time." Now, why that's so interesting is that pharmaceutical drugs make a lot of money. This is a multi-billion dollar industry, and exercise is free. And there's a lot of money to be made in the farming of sick people. If individuals are not doing well, then there's money to be made there with pharmaceutical drugs. But if you're healthy, if you're feeling good, if you're happy, then you're not going to be a cash cow. And this study is demonstrating that just getting up and moving your body and exercising in the community aspect alongside other people is tremendously valuable, and it's just as good as using an antidepressant drug. This is a fact. So you've got to utilize this in your overall theme of getting well. Now, how this needs to be utilized is to sign up for group classes specifically where you have accountability. I had one client come in who was dealing with a diabetic condition as well as pretty moderate to strong bouts of depression. And she absolutely loved going to her Zumba class. She looked forward to it. It was something she really, really enjoyed. She always felt so great after going, and it would literally last her for days. But she didn't have that accountability, someone looking out for her to show up, someone making sure that she's going, someone encouraging her to go, because we get caught up into our blueprint of being a depressed individual, and we'll literally self-sabotage. Even when something feels good, even when something's working, we'll tend to give up on it. What we do as human beings in this condition, we find something that works and we stop doing it. And it doesn't make any sense, but neither does the fact that the World Health Organization has come out and said that depression is going to be the second leading cause of death by 2020. It doesn't make sense. It's because we're not applying these simple, powerful ideas, and you're going to be a leader at changing these things. Lastly, I want to share with you a study that was done in Norway, and it was recently published in the Journal of Internal Medicine. Researchers found a direct relationship between blood levels of vitamin D and the symptoms of depression. The lower blood levels of vitamin D in the individual, the greater their level of depression. And conversely, when given high doses of vitamin D, the subjects in the study's symptoms improved. Now, there's one overarching caveat here is to understand that no amount of vitamin D supplementation can replace the direct interaction of that hormone being produced in your body with adequate sun exposure. This goes back to my original question. What if we ate the things that our genes expected of us? What if we lived the way that our genes expected of us? Getting sunlight, moving our body, and exercising. These rampant issues of depression are a result of being disconnected from life, from each other, from nature. We need to get out and move our bodies and exercise, get sunlight. These are all important resources that are essential in the development of a healthy, emotionally balanced human being. And without these things, we become deficient. And no amount of pills or therapy is going to help us if we're not living in accordance with our basic human nature. So getting sunlight is so critical at getting rid of the issues of depression. And it's not necessarily at the root cause of the depression, but it does help to create the overarching outfit and strength within the individual to make the changes necessary to overcome it. Dr. Paul Kidwell, who's an expert on mood disorders at the Institute of Psychiatry, said that depression is not a human defect at all, but a defense mechanism that in its mild and moderate forms can force a healthy reassessment of personal circumstances. He went on to say, don't beat yourself up about being depressed. In most cases, it will run its course provided you take yourself out of the situation that caused it. From that sharing that depression can actually serve a purpose, deepening and enriching the human experience. By overcoming challenging times in our lives, we can actually become stronger, evolutionarily speaking. Depression is a part of all of our lives at one time or another, and it really tests our character in seeing whether we're going to take the challenging circumstances that we're faced with and turn them into rewards and a better life, or if we're going to stay there stuck in that place and drown ourselves in our own hard times. I'm challenging you to use your depression as a launching pad to a greater life. By you developing the qualities and the character of an individual who's overcome depression, you're going to be able to help so many other people with your story. With your very presence, you're going to be able to heal people. And it starts with you doing whatever is necessary to overcome this. And utilizing some of the things that you learned here today is going to be probably an intricate part in you doing so, because it's really getting back to what's real and natural and providing your body with the right conditions for health to exist there. It's so much harder to be unhappy and to be in a depressed state when you feel good, when you're physically healthy. It's very, very challenging to do. So focus on getting yourself healthy and focus on getting yourself around positive, uplifting information and immersing yourself in that, because the cells in your brain known as mirror neurons are literally simulating everything that you see. Everything that you're around is simulating you doing those things. So getting yourself around negative information is going to pull you further into that. But on the other side, by consciously getting yourself around positive people, around healthy, uplifting information, is going to simulate you doing that and contributing to the health and well-being of your life. So be sure to share this information with the people you care about. This is Sean Stevenson signing off for Be Well Buzz, and we'll talk with you soon.
Thanks for listening to the BeWellBuzz.com podcast. Go to www.BeWellBuzz.com for free articles and news about natural health and wellness.